All right, so if you'll take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We made it through verse 15 last time, so we're going to pick up with verse 16. And my plan, not always a good plan, but my plan is to get through verse 20 tonight. So we'll read 16 through 20 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Sorry. Verse 18, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also, for ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we again are thankful for this opportunity to be in your house again, and thank you for this part of the scripture as we look into 2 Corinthians and continue on this journey. And we thank you for the Apostle Paul who penned so much for us to know. And I just thank you for his writings, that we have them, that we can study them, that we can meditate upon them. And Father, I pray tonight as we learn more from your word, I pray, Father, that once again we'd be drawn closer to you. And that's what this is about, Father. We need to draw closer to you, and that we need to take what we learn out and share with others so they too can know the truths of your word. So we thank you for what you're going to accomplish tonight, and we'll not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've been looking at this, what Paul's caution concerning the enemies of the Corinthians, and we looked at who they were, the false apostles, where they came from, Satan, and now we're at what they do. And they glory in flesh, judging spiritually by worldly standards of success. And again, you know, that's what a lot of people do. They judge by the worldly standards. You can't judge spiritual things by worldly standards. They're two different things. And so, but that's what they try to do. So, verse 16, where he says, I say again, I repeat it. He refers to what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. He is saying, I have said much respecting myself, which may seem to be foolish. I admit that to boast in this manner of one's own self in general is folly, but circumstances compel me to it, and I entreat you to look at those circumstances and not regard me as a fool for doing it. If otherwise, if you think otherwise, if I cannot obtain this of you, that you will not regard me as acting prudently and wisely, if you will think me foolish, still I am constrained to make these remarks in vindication of myself. Then he says, yet as a fool receive me, bear with me as you do with others, consider how much I have been provoked to this, how necessary it is to my character, and do not reject and despise me because I am constrained to say that of myself, which is usually regarded as foolish boasting. Obviously, when people talk so much about themselves, right, people look at them as foolishly boasting about themselves and stuff. And so he's saying that I may boast myself a little. Since others do it and are not rebuked, in fact, they're permitted also to do it. He said there is something a little sarcastic in his words here. He says, a little. Let me boast just a little. Others are allowed to boast a great deal. And he says, I just want, just give me what you allow them to boast in great amounts. Let me boast in just a little. And then verse 17, that which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. That which I speak, he's talking about in praise of myself. I speak it not after the Lord. I do not speak this imitating the example of the Lord, Jesus, or strictly as becomes his follower. He was eminently modest and never vaunted or boasted. And Paul is saying that I admit that it is in departure from his pure example in this respect. Jesus never boasted about himself. He came in and told him who he was, right? But he didn't keep boasting about himself at all. He was God. He is God. He left heaven's glory and came here as God, became man. He could have boasted all kinds of stuff. Paul says he didn't do that. He was modest. And Paul is saying that I admit that it is a departure from his pure example in this respect. But circumstances have compelled me, and much as I would prefer another strain or remark, and sensible as I am in general of the folly of boasting, yet a regard to my apostolic office and authority urges me to this course. Paul admitted that he was not in exact accordance with the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, and in admitting this, he designed to administer a delicate hint that all their boasting was a wide departure from the Spirit. And there's a lot of people that are out there boasting how wonderful they are and how great they are. And it's amazing. You get some of these preachers out there and they are like, if you ask them, they are God's gift to the world, right? It's amazing how they boast about how wonderful they are and how eloquent a speaker they are. And others out there that don't speak quite as eloquently as they do are substandard. And it's interesting how they do that. And Paul's saying, there's those that were out there that were doing that and getting away with it. And it was accepted of the Corinthians. They were allowing them to do that. And Paul's saying, just let me boast just a little. Then he says, as it were foolishly, as in folly, it is to be admitted that to boast is in general foolishness, and I admit that my language is open to this general charge. In this confidence of boasting, in confident boasting, I speak confidently, and I admit in the spirit of boasting. And then verse 18, as he goes on, he says, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. The false teachers in Corinth, they boasted of their birth, rank, natural endowments, eloquence, etc. They just boasted about whatever. You know, some people, it's like, well, I'm royalty, right? Well, let's figure this out, folks. If we all go back to Adam and Eve, are we all not related? Exactly, right? So is anybody better than anybody else? No. We all have the same beginnings. We go back far enough. You know, I found it interesting because Brother Steve Riggin, when he was here, he's into genealogy and all, and he would go through all that stuff, and he and my wife got to talking one day, and he said, it went all the way back to this, at this point is where your family and my family is related, and we know it through this. I said, I can do better than that. I can take you all the way back to Adam and Eve. He goes, well, do you have all the... I said, no, I just know that's where it started. I don't have to spend all the research, right? That's where it came from. So all these people that are talking about where they were born and what happened here and what... we're all related. I know that's sad news for you guys that you're related to me, right? I think you should be fortunate, right? But I get to be related to you too. So that's a good thing. In 2 Corinthians 11:22, it's a little further on, it says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. And then look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, verses 3 and 4. It says, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And he says, I will glory also. I also will boast of my endowments, which, though somewhat different, yet pertain in main to the flesh also. His endowments in the flesh, or what he had to boast of pertaining to the flesh, related not so much to birth and rank, though not inferior to them in these, but to what the flesh had endured, to stripes, imprisonments, and hunger and peril. This is an exceedingly delicate and happy turn given to the whole subject. Paul went through an awful lot. Paul endured an awful lot. Most people can't say that I endured any, even smidget of what Paul endured. And he did it for Christ, for the cause of Christ. And he was happy to do it. They take advantage of you. They made themselves lords over the church, teaching a form of legalism that made the Corinthians obey them, not God. It's amazing how people will flock to churches that teach these legalism things, and then you get somebody who just follows the word of God and you're a legalist. What? I'm following the word of God. Well, you're just a legalist. No, following the word of God does not make you a legalist. It makes you obedient to the word of God. But they throw that out there when they themselves are actually the ones that enforce this form of legalism on others. Verse 19, excuse me, of our text. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. You tolerate or endure those who are really fools. This is rather a sarcastic sentence penned by the Apostle Paul. You profess to be wondrously wise, and yet you, who are so wise a people, freely tolerate those who are foolish in their boasting, who proclaim their own merits and attainments. Interesting how people who profess to be so wise turn out to not be quite so wise, right? I mean, I know people who are very, very, very well-educated. I mean, we would call highly educated people. And yet, you can't have a common sense conversation with them because you lose them. They've become too wise for their own good, apparently. And so you just have to say, okay, we're not going to be able to talk because we can't agree on anything. You won't listen to anything I have to say, because they are set in their own ways. And even if you could prove them wrong, they won't listen. You may allow me, therefore, to come in for my share and boast also, and thus obtain your favor. You have great power of discernment in this, and have found out that I am a fool, and also that other boasters are fools. Yet knowing this, you bear patiently with such fools, have admitted them to your favor and friendship, and I may come in amongst the rest of the fools and partake also of your favors. They had borne with the false apostles who had boasted of their endowments, and yet they claimed to be eminent for wisdom and discernment. However, they were obviously taken in by those who are foolish. Verse 20, for you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. For you suffer, you bear patiently with men who impose on you in every way and who are constantly defrauding you. Though you profess to be so wise, and you may bear with me a little, though I have no such intention, seriously, if you bear with boasters who intend to delude and deceive you in various ways, you may bear with one who comes to you with no such intention, but with an honest purpose to do good. They obviously accepted all these ones that came in to do them harm, and Paul's come with just the purpose of doing good, and they don't want to hear. They don't want to give him any time. If a man bring you into bondage, the word bondage is katedoulo, and it means to enslave. If a man or if anyone make a slave of you or reduce you to servitude, the idea is doubtless that the false teachers set up a lordship over their consciences, destroyed their freedom of opinion, and made them subservient to their will. Isn't that interesting? But yet, these people who said how wise they are and all fell for this. And we often wonder, why do people, it's like the church I mentioned this morning, why do people continue to go to a church that teach contrary to the Word of God? When you have somebody that comes in and they question it, all of a sudden, the person who questions it is the one that's foolish. But the one that questioned it has Scripture to back it up. And they say, but no, you're going against all of the teachers that have come before you that have taught us in the Word of God. See, they always think it's the Word of God, even though it's contrary to the Word of God. They accept them openly, but they won't accept openly the truth. They really took away their Christian freedom as much as if they had been slaves. In what way this was done is unknown. It may be that they imposed on them rites and forms, commanded expensive and inconvenient ceremonies, and required arduous services merely at their own will. A false religion always makes slaves. It is only true Christianity that leaves perfect freedom. The Bible tells us clearly, we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. All these false religions just want to enslave people. That's all they want to do. I find it interesting that some of these false religions out there, if you belong to them, you are to have no ties with any family that is not part of that religion. You are to have no ties with anyone outside of that religion. Period. The reason is they cut off everybody from anybody but those who believe what they believe, so that there's no way anyone can get in and share with them the truth, because all they do is hang around people that have been taught the same stuff. It's interesting how they block them off from anyone else. All heathens are slaves to their priests. All fanatics are slaves to some fanatical leader. All those who embrace error are slaves to those who claim to be their guides. They devoured the finances of the Corinthians, demanding exorbitant offerings for themselves. They come in, they talk about being these super apostles, right? Quote unquote, super apostles. They abuse, they take advantage of, and they do all that. Paul never did that. Paul only wanted good for these people. In fact, Paul went so far as to say he wanted his people to know Christ and that he would be accursed if they could come to know Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm not ready to give up my Christianity so somebody else can have it. That may sound selfish, but I'm glad to be a child of God. I have no problem going out and sharing the Word of God with other people. I enjoy doing that. But to be a curse so others could be saved, I'm not so sure I want to do that. I've read enough about hell. I know it's not someplace I want to go. And thank God you can't lose your salvation, right? I mean, thank God for that. But Paul was willing to say, you know, if they could be saved, I'll give myself. Paul loved people that much. And I believe Paul was genuine. I don't believe he said it in jest. If a man devour you, this is exceedingly sarcastic, though you are so wise, yet you in fact tolerate men who impose on you, no matter though they eat you up or consume all you have. By their exorbitant demands they will consume all you have, or as we would say, eat you out of house and home. All this they took patiently and freely, gave all that they demanded. False teachers are always greedy because they're not in it for the Lord. They're in it for self-gain. So they're greedy. They seek the property, not the souls of those whom they minister. Not satisfied with the maintenance, they aim to obtain all, and their plans are formed to secure as much as possible of those to whom they minister. I think of these people who, you know, just send money in. Just send money in. And they have houses. Well, not houses. They have mansions and yachts and jets and all this. And it's just to get more money out of the people so they can buy more stuff, so they can live more extravagant lives. It's not about God. It's about filthy lucre is what it's all about. They take you, ensnaring you with their enticing bait. If a man take of you, if he takes and seize upon your possessions, if he comes and takes what he pleases and bears it away on his own, then they exalted themselves. If a man exalt himself, if he set himself up as a ruler and claim submission, no matter how arrogant his claims, yet you are ready to bear with him. You might then bear with me in the very moderate demands which I make on your obedience and confidence. I mean, all he asked them, you need to be obedient, be confident in what I'm telling you is the truth. They slap you in the face, abusing you spiritually and verbally. If a man smite you on the face, the word smite is dero, and it means to flay, to beat, to scourge, to thrash, especially to, as to the taking off of skin. The idea here is if anyone treats you harshly and with scorn, since there can be no higher expression of it than a smite, to smite a man on his face, like they did Jesus, right? They spit on his face, they buffeted him, they smote him with the palms of their hands. Talking about that kind of stuff, it is not to be supposed that this occurred literally among the Corinthians, but the idea is that the false teachers really treated them with as little respect as if they smote them on the face. They didn't care about them. They cared about their possessions. The more they could get, the better off they'd be, right? I think they bought into that lie, he who dies with the most toys wins. And that's what they're after. In what way this was done is unknown, but probably it was by their domineering manners and the little respect which they showed for the opinions and feelings of the Corinthian Christians. Paul says that as they bore this very patiently, they might allow him to make some remarks about himself in self-commendation. Paul's just saying, you let them get away with all of this. I'm not after anything from you other than just give me the confidence that what I'm telling you is the truth and be obedient to the Word of God. I'm not here to take everything you own. I'm not here to gain from what I can get from you. I'm here to help you. And instead, they would listen to the false apostles, the what they called themselves, the super apostles, but not Paul, who is truly an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, we'll end there for tonight, as that is.